Just usually when I come, I don't get to see Rabbi Yossi, but other than that,
Oh, it is unplugged, sorry.
Yeah, he got it now. But I do enjoy coming. And it's a rare moment. We got 6 out of 7 in our family in one room at the same time. So that's pretty good. The last couple of years, it's been maybe one day, not even a full 24 hours, all 7 of 7 in one place at the same time. So this is pretty good. All right, let's see. When the PowerPoint's ready there, we can go to the beginning there. Yep, he's working on that. But we do have, I'll let you know, the first thing there is RabbiRonSpeaks.com is a website. If you do want to stay in contact with me, if you have other questions or comments after I leave on RabbiRonSpeaks.com, there is a contact page. So you'll be able to go there and contact me. I also do, though, have on Facebook, Rabbi Ron Speaks, and that's where I use my events calendar. I don't know how to run a website, but I know how to post things on events calendar on Facebook, so it's also Rabbi Ron Speaks, and that keeps me up to date where I'm going. If you want to pray for me, there you'll find that out. In about 9 days or so now, Asher and I are heading to New York. I'll be speaking in New York for a few weeks, including my alma mater, the college Cortland I graduated from that Asher now attends. And so I'm looking forward to that opportunity to share back at my old college as well as a few places. And then I'll come home, and if we go to the next PowerPoint, I'll get home for about a week and a half. And then the next slide shows you where I'm disappearing and taking off to after that. We'll wait for the surprise and see. And maybe, maybe not. I got a phone call a short while ago, I guess I'll just have to tell you, and asked would I like to go to Africa. Here we go, Uganda, Africa. And so a friend of mine was asked to go and do a conference, some conferences on Israel, and was asked to bring a Messianic rabbi. So called me up and invited me to come. And so we'll be in Uganda and looking forward to that. We just met to talk a little bit about our itinerary, what we'll be teaching on. And so good news, all the different gifts I get for speaking will help not only meet our needs here in Florida, the family needs, but as well the needs that I'll have to go to Uganda. So I thank you. And it'll be a great opportunity to go there and to speak about Israel and the feasts. So that is great. I believe it's something the Lord will have me do more and more, is to speak about Israel. And so this will be a big push to get that going. If we can go to the next slide. We just had a day of remembrance on the calendar this week. Holocaust remembrance. And I went several years back when I was in Israel, got to go to Yad Vashem and the memorial there in Israel. And one of the presentations in Yad Vashem was, I am my brother's keeper. Now, if we go to the next slide, who is this person here? Oscar Schindler. And one of the most well-known now, because on our left there, Schindler's List movie that had come out years back. And one of the most well-known righteous among the nations. And he helped save thousands of Polish Jews by shielding them as workers in his factories. He ensured that the Jewish people in his factories worked there, and that they were also fed. No one was beaten, no one was killed, and his story has now been immortalized in this film, in this movie, Schindler's List. And so they are honored and remembered in Jerusalem. Now, during the Holocaust, many people, millions died there in Europe. And so many people around the world did absolutely nothing. They were silent. But then there were people like Schindler that did not remain silent, did not remain inactive, And they stand in stark contrast to the indifference, to the hostility that prevailed during the Holocaust. Now, back then, but even today, the world needs righteous, blameless, honorable people. If we go to the next slide, this is the first righteous among the nations that I became personally aware of, Corrie ten Boom. After coming to faith, I was very quickly handed the book, The Hiding Place, and told I needed to read the story. There she is years later going back to her old home. And I gather that was the wall. There must have been a giant picture or a hutch or some giant piece of furniture blocking that. But that was there so that her and her family, they could hide Jews and go behind the wall to a place to be hidden, safe from the Nazis coming in the house. On the other side, imagine that you lift up a rug in the living room, in the dining room, and there are stairs heading down to a secret hiding place for Jews to be out of sight when the Nazis would come into their home. Yad Vashem was established to keep alive the memory of 6 million Jewish victims during the Holocaust. And one of Yad Vashem's principal duties is to convey the gratitude of the state of Israel and the Jewish people to the non-Jews who risked their lives to save Jewish people during the Holocaust. Now, during the Holocaust, righteous people hid them during a rage, during a raid, a roundup, and they would offer usually shelter for 1 or 2 days. But that 1 or 2 days often lasted months or even years. People acted for different reasons, but one thing that they all probably had in common was that they were human beings who cared for other people. In many cases, these righteous people, they didn't plan on becoming rescuers. They were totally unprepared for the moment where they had to make such a decision. What would they do with this Jewish person standing before them? Because they were ordinary human beings, they serve as role models for us. They helped in different ways. Some people gave food to Jews, thrusting an apple into their pocket as they walked beside them in the streets. Others directed Jewish people to places to go to find shelter for a night. Only a few of these people assumed responsibility for the Jewish survival. And it's mostly this group that is honored at Yad Vashem. This small group. But every one of us needs to be like them. Every one of us needs to serve other people, Jewish and from any and every nation, when they find themselves in a crisis. Like Yad Vashem, we need to honor those who risk their lives when crisis comes. It's written at Yad Vashem on the website that these people teach us that every one of us can make a difference. And that's one of the big things that grabbed me when I read the website. They teach us that each of us here in this room today, we can make a difference. One of the displays at Yad Vashem is entitled, I Am My Brother's Keeper. What story in the Bible does that come from? If we can go to the next slide. In Genesis, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And the Lord said to him, where is your brother Abel? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? He's a big boy. He don't need me looking after him. Keeper, I looked it up in a thesaurus. Warden, caretaker, guardian, protector. And so a keeper is someone who watches over and defends people from danger, harm, or loss. A keeper accepts responsibility for the welfare, the well-being, the safety of their brothers. Now, if we can go and look at the next slide, who is this man? Anyone recognize his face? Looks like your brother. May your brother be such an honorable man. This man has only been known for not even 2 months now. Two months ago in Florida, when a man, a young boy, opened up shooting on a high school, this coach stood there as a human shield, offered his body to protect the lives of the students. This man did exactly what the righteous among the nations did. It was just for a brief moment. But he did the same thing. Gave his life. Aaron Feiss gave his life for students at a high school here in Florida. If we can go to the next slide. In Joshua, there were some Jewish men that entered the land. And Rahab took these two men, and what did she do? She hid them. Here she is hiding them under the straw, so that then when the soldiers did come looking for them, they were nowhere to be seen. And she says, oh yeah, I did see two men, and they knew the gate was closing, so they ran off in a hurry to go out the gate before they close. But if you rush right now, quickly, you might be able to catch them. And sent them on their way. But she hid them under the straw. She'll never be listed among the righteous among the nations. But she did the same thing. Risked her life for the lives of these two Jewish men. I love the story on the next slide. If we can look here and see an example of another godly person recorded in the scriptures. And the next slide shows us the scripture from the book of Ruth. Naomi said, listen, girls, listen, the three of us, we've all lost our husbands. They're all gone. I've got nothing to offer you, nothing to help take care of you. Leave, go back home to your gods, your family, and see who there can take care of you. And Orpah left. But Ruth said, don't urge me to leave you, to turn back. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Sounds like the righteous among the nations in the Holocaust. Your people will be my people. Where you die, I will die, and there I'll be buried. May the Lord deal ever so severely with me, if even death separates. I'm staying with you no matter how difficult things get. What the circumstances may be, it doesn't matter if there's any hope for the future or not. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here with you. In good times and bad, in sickness and in health, till death do we part. There might be many good reasons to leave, but a righteous person will do the right thing and stay. Just like they did during the Holocaust. If we could look at the next slide, this scripture doesn't focus on a person. But God told the Jewish people there that when you reap a harvest in your land, don't reap to the very edges. And don't go over the vineyards a second time to pull out those grapes, but leave some there for the poor and the foreigner. Didn't we hear that righteous among the nations, they might thrust an apple and put it in the pocket of a Jewish person as they were walking by? And they said, oh, I know Harry. He walks down the street every day to go to work, and I'll just leave him a little cup of coffee sitting here on the side of the road to help him start off his day. Leave something, provide and care for. This is the principle that the righteous among the nations understood, that they had a responsibility to care for and provide for the needs of those that they encounter and meet. If we can look at the next slide, this scripture just is amazing to me. The king tells some people, listen, come and, you know, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance and that's been prepared for you since the beginning of the world. And says, because look, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. Stranger, you invited me in. I needed some clothes and you shared some with me. I was sick and you came and cared for me. In prison and you did come to visit me. And they, when did we do this? I never saw you before, a day in my life. And what does he tell him? When you did it for the least of one of my brothers, you did it to me. Now that's incredible. I mean, there's two things. One is that we need to care for those that come our way. Offer a little food, that apple, a little drink. There was a nurse sick at Brandon High School. And so Vino brought some broth to school one day to nurse the nurse at Brandon High School to help her. I served 3.5 years of homeless outreach before moving to Florida. We didn't have housing. We had a van and we just drove around the community meeting the needs of those homeless or at risk of becoming homeless so we wouldn't have to visit them under the bridge. I loved it. What a life. The opportunities to have and to care for those that had been neglected or were incapable of caring for themselves. And then, Yeshua just says, when we do it for one of these, he looks and says, it's just as if you did it for me. I don't know if I understand it, but boy, he said it, so it's true. That's all I need to know. He looks and says, it's just like you fed me right now. It's the same thing. I don't know, it just means somehow we're connected to him. We're connected to him. Now, if we can look at the next slide, I love this scripture in the Message translation. Those of us who are strong and able in faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, not just to do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not for status. Each of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? I can't read anybody's mind. I got to remind my wife that so often. I don't know if all men are like it, but I can't read your mind. I'd like to help, but you need to use your words and tell me and be specific. We just need to ask people, how can I help? And then let them tell us very specifically. But we need to just look. Some are obvious, but there are plenty of needs that are not. And we just need to ask, what can I do to help? And then when you offer to help, you may need to stick your nose in some interesting places and do some things you never would have thought. And I could share stories from 3.5 years of homeless ministry and outreach, the things we did to care for those who couldn't care for themselves. Those of you in the nursing field, you understand the things you do nobody else would want to do. But that's the job of a nurse. We need to help, whatever it may be. Now, one of the sayings there for this day of remembrance is to never be silent. And if we can look at the next slide, we can't be silent during this time. We've got to be able to speak up. Oh, here, the first thank you, I forgot. This is just a year old, these two pictures. What can I do to help? You never know what it's going to look like. The one picture, it's a New York City subway from last year. And what does it say on that? Jews belong in the oven. Was written on a New York subway 1 year ago. But what do I need to do to help? He pulled out a wipe. Not on my subway. That is offering help. And what do you see on the bottom right? People are watching. People are watching. For those of you with strong, able backs, this picture there in the cemetery wasn't a one time. It happened like 3-4 times in about a month or two. Jewish cemeteries were desecrated. And so how may I help? Those of you who have able backs, you may help by helping lift up those stones and putting them back in place where they belong. All sorts of different ways in which you might be able to help. Just keep your eyes open and see what needs God brings your way. We still need righteous people in every nation today. These pictures are from the United States. If we could look at the next slide. Here is from Proverbs. And this is actually the way it's phrased. It's from about 3 different translations I've merged together. Speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. The unfortunate, defenseless, who cannot help themselves and need an advocate. There are people in your neighborhood. There are people all over this country, like the Jews throughout Europe years ago, that could not defend themselves. And they needed others to speak for them, to stand up for them. There are people in our country and around the world today that need us to do this. And God tells us we need to do it. If we can look at the next slide. These little babies can't speak up for themselves, but their lives are at risk all around the world today. Elderly can't always speak up for themselves. And they need family, and sometimes they don't have the family. They need their neighbors to speak up for them. If we can look at the next slide, there are people with all sorts of disabilities that others would sit there and say, why should you continue living? They do this. 2 years ago, my mother, 76 years old, went to the hospital. She was having strokes and messed with the brain and she couldn't move her leg. And she tried chemo. And one shot of chemo put her in the hospital, 3 different things. And this one doctor went in and visited her and said, listen, you're 76. If a 12-year-old boy came in here with a broken leg, we'd say, listen, you're only 12. You've got a long life ahead. But you're 76, and this is what chemo did, so you're not going to be able to try again. And so now the hospital bed or wheelchair is all you've got. And if you're happy with that, fine. But if not, we can help. And the next day, my mother said, I'm done. People leave me alone. There are people out there telling people, you don't need to live anymore. no reason. We need to speak up for those. There is I when, and my friend Mateo, when we did homeless outreach for 3.5 years in Binghamton, New York, in the middle of February, when it's below, even sometimes zero, there are people living in tents outside. Not by choice. And we went out there looking for men and sometimes women because they needed an advocate to get a bed in a room with heat, with electricity. The world we live in today needs us to speak up for other people who can't speak up for themselves, who are defenseless, who need an advocate. The world today needs righteous people who will do the right thing. And Yad Vashem says they were ordinary people just like us. And they're there to serve as a role model, as a reminder that we need to do the very same thing. If you can go to the next slide. And so what will you do the next time? Will you cover your ears? Will you cover your eyes and hope that somebody else might show up and do something? Or will you reach out and help meet the need, whatever that need might be? Scriptures tell us in the end times, it's going to get pretty evil and wicked. And the world is filled with needs today, but the needs are only going to grow. And God needs righteous people ready to do the right thing. There's one more slide, if we can go to that. I just learned about this man a year ago. He came to Sarasota, and some friends told me about him. Let me tell you about this man. For Jews, I got this from his website. For Jews enduring utter despair and unimaginable evil during the Holocaust, music offered haven and humanity. The strains of a beloved song supplied solace, even if only for a few moments. The chords provided a vital reminder that even the most brutal regime could not rob them of their faith. No matter what, their souls could be free. In some cases, the ability to play a violin spared musicians, Jewish musicians, from more grueling labors or even death. Nearly 50 years ago, Amnon Weinstein heard such a story from a customer who brought in an instrument for restoration. This customer survived the Holocaust because his job was to play the violin while Nazi soldiers marched others to their deaths. When Weinstein opened the violin's case, he saw ashes. He thought of his own relatives who had perished and was overwhelmed. He could not bring himself to begin the project. Weinstein became one of the most respected violin makers in the world, and sometime after seeing this violin, he became determined to reclaim his lost heritage. In 1996, he was ready. He put out a call for violins from the Holocaust that he would restore in hopes that the instruments would sound again. He started locating violins that were played by Jews in the camps and the ghettos, painstakingly piercing them back together so they could be brought to life again on the concert stage. Although most of the musicians who originally played these instruments were silenced by the Holocaust, Their voices and spirits live on today through these violins that Amnon has lovingly restored. He calls these instruments violins of hope. We are called to remember the Holocaust. We are called to speak up, or to enable violins to speak up on behalf of their previous owners. The world needs righteous people who will do the right thing. And God calls us to be our brother's keeper, to be a good Samaritan. He calls up to speak for those who cannot speak, who are defenseless, who need an advocate. And so we are reminded this year, every year during this time of remembrance, that those people who are honored in Yad Vashem, we don't honor them just by putting their name on a piece of metal. We honor them by following their example, by remembering that they were ordinary beings and that they are role models. And if they did it, so can we. And so let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for those righteous people among the nations. Thank you for Aaron Feist here in Florida. And Lord, for Corrie ten Boom, Schindler, and for heroes, righteous heroes, men and women, all over the world throughout history, who were willing to risk their lives. Some lost them, some did not, but they were willing. Thank you, Lord, that Yad Vashem reminds us that all these people were ordinary human beings. They were no different than any one of us, and that they are our role models. They are our inspiration. And if they can do it, so can we. And Lord, we see through Armin Weisstein that there are all sorts of ways to raise our voice, to speak up. And so, Lord, we offer ourselves, Hineni, here am I. Send me, use me, open my mouth. Use my talents, my skills to care for those in need, to meet a need when a crisis arises, injustice comes our way. Father, we are needed. And I trust that hope has been instilled in the hearts that every one of us can be used by you. Because it's your spirit in us. It's your strength in us that enables us to do it. And so use us, Lord. Help us when the time comes to do the right thing. And I ask this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Thank you for having me today.